closed session was that council was directed to take appropriate action concerning the closed session matter.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. And we discuss.
No, we don't. It's just closed session. But no, it's just directed to take the appropriate action concerning it. So that's internal.
All right.
Call me out there.
Yeah, right.
Can we have the roll call, please?
So, Director Perezio? Director Wortham?
I'm here.
Director Matthews?
Here.
Vice President Rogers?
Here.
President Lindo?
Here. And I'd like to turn to Jeff Scott to conduct the election of officers.
Okay. What I'd like to do is, you'll bear with me here just a moment. The Article 5 of the Section 5.2 of the district bylaws provides that the first board's regular meeting in December, the board shall organize by election one of its members as president, one as vice president slash secretary, and one as treasurer. And the following is sort of an outline of the process that I'll share with you. I'm going to announce the nominations are open for the office of president. As more than one person may be nominated, nominations will remain open until they're all made. So we'll make sure that if there's any other nominations, we get them in. Pursuant to Robert's Rules of Order, no second is required for the nomination of an officer. Now then, when we get all the nominations get in, I'm going to close the nominations. And if only one individual has been nominated, I will call for a vote. If more than one person is nominated, I will announce each candidate. And basically what we're going to do at that point is I'm going to pass out ballots to each of you. So it's a transparent process. And each of you, the ballot has your name on it. And you can write on there which nomination you'd like to vote for. Okay? And then I will collect all of those nominations, or these pieces of paper, if there's more than one, and I will announce who each director voted for, so that we have a transparent and open process. This is not a secret ballot. And then once we get to three, then I'll ask if you'd like to make a motion and a second, and maybe for the order, for unanimity of the board for that. So are there any questions? You guys understand the process I just outlined?
I do, but I have a question.
Okay.
This is a very unique year in that in January we're going to appoint two additional directors. Is there any way we can postpone the election until January?
That's entirely up to you. You're right, this is a very unique situation. We don't have we're going to have two new board members coming on board in January. If it's in the board's discretion whether or not you want to wait until the January meeting, could be the 22nd, would be the regular meeting in January. So you could postpone this. There's nothing fatal about that.
Go ahead, please.
My opinion is that the two new board members in January are going to be very new and sort of learning everything. And we're only electing officers for 12 months. And I think that the work of the district needs to continue. We could have had a situation where one of the officers had now rotated off.
Yes.
So I think we should have the election today and move on.
I'd just be curious if anybody else supports my wonderful collaborative idea, which I also agree with you to a certain extent. Yeah. Anyway,
no. Yeah, I think we should vote today.
Okay, so there are nominations are now opened for president.
I would like to nominate Director Mark Matthews for president.
I would like to nominate Director Jennifer Wortham for president.
Are there any other nominations?
You want to be president?
Okay, well, I'm glad I brought these. You just never know, you know. So you, I brought these, and we'll take the one that has your name on it and then pass the next one down. Fold them and pass them down to Yvette or yourself. You know, kick it over here and pass it to Les. And I feel like it's the Academy Awards or something.
I don't like it.
It's only the presidency, okay?
Just don't screw it up like they did that one year.
I did?
No, that was
no, the Academy Awards.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think we screwed up an election yet.
No.
They did Best Movie and then the one
Academy
of the
Awards.
The Academy Awards. That was awesome.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yvette votes for Director Wortham. Director Wortham votes for Director Wortham. Director Rogers votes for Director Wortham. Director Zendel votes for Director Matthews. And Director Mark Matthews votes for Director Wortham.
I move that the election be made unanimous for Dr. Wortham.
That's great.
Director Wortham.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yay!
Yay!
Okay, so now the next one is the same procedure is going to be followed for the election of the vice president secretary. So do I have any nominations for vice president?
I have a question. Can I ask a question first?
Of course.
Okay. Should we ask people what they are interested in, or do we just nominate them? I mean, I think.
You're saying who doesn't want the job?
Yeah.
I think if you nominate somebody and they don't want the job, they should say so, right?
Yeah, they'll say I withdraw.
So who would like to be vice president?
You want to be vice president?
I'd like to nominate Director Zendel to help me through my first year as president.
All right. Well, that's we've got one. Do we have any other nominations for vice president? Okay. So could we get a motion?
I make a motion that Director Zendel be vice president.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and we're almost done, so the last one will be treasurer. Is there anybody that wants to volunteer for treasurer?
No, I would like to nominate Mark Matthews.
All right.
Who has always been the treasurer, as far as I know, to be treasurer again.
I would second that nomination.
All right. No further nominations. Can I get a motion?
I'm sorry.
I move that we vote unanimously for Mark.
Second.
All
right. I'm not going to do a roll call. Just all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Perfect. Whew. Well, we're done with that.
Now, my understanding is that I get to hold the gavel to the end of the day.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Well done. Okay.
Yes.
The next item is appointment of committees and governing board representatives. I would recommend that President-elect Wortham discuss.
I was going to text my mom. Sorry.
I already did.
It's only the presidency. It doesn't mean in every direction this is important.
Anyway, I would recommend that you talk to the individual board members and think about who you want to appoint to each of the positions and what people would like to do, and then at the next meeting you can announce it, or it doesn't even have to be, it could be official as soon as you decide.
Or another way is simply if you're interested in a particular committee that you just send a note that you might be interested in.
And I think, again, this is where, when we have seven, you might want to have everybody's input at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, my suggestion would be there are five of us,
right.
and that two of us, on each committee, there should be two of the current five board members.
Right.
And then after January, the new board members, one of them will be on each of the committees.
That's probably just fine.
Yeah, I mean, that way there's can be no delay.
Got it.
I think my opinion is that when we decided to do away with the program committee, that was a mistake.
I agree.
And that the sooner we resurrect that, the quicker a lot of things will be done and the meetings will be more pleasant for everybody.
I don't have a problem, though, doing the governing board representatives if people here are interested.
I'm good with that.
And who wants to be on the governing board?
Of the hospital?
Well, I don't know which governing board it is, but I don't want to.
I would like to continue on the governing board.
I would
of the
like
hospital.
To continue.
I would move those two.
I would move those two.
Well, I think, aren't those appointed? Are those appointed?
By the president?
No, they're appointed by the president.
Oh,
yeah,
then
so
we'll just stand out of the way.
Keep that, just express your interest to the president. It's up to her.
Thank you.
So
it's one of the few things you get to do, okay?
So I would.
Yeah, but we don't have to decide that now.
We can.
Yeah, okay.
Do that.
All right, give her that.
She wants to go.
That's all right. A little out of order, but that's okay.
I think it's done.
It's done. I think we
got to make a suggestion, and that is that we look at resurrecting the procedure of inviting community members to be on our standing committees. At one point in time, we had three community members on our finance committee.
Yep.
We only have one left. I remember Mark Matthews saying that each one of them could run the district with their expertise.
They were good.
They were good. I would like to see the Hospital Governance and Oversight Committee be expanded to community members so that we get a good balance of people on the board, so it's not just two of us talking about hospital governance, and maybe even go as far as asking Shelley Kaplan if he'd be interested with his background in building.
Could we wait?
Yeah,
that's not on the agenda, but it is. Let's, that's
just
something we can do.
Discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, and that is a discussion that the entire board would have to have and decide.
I'll move approval of the agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, now it's time for public comment of anything that's not on the agenda. People have up to 3 minutes. And just a reminder that we can't act on anything that you say today if it's not on the agenda. Is there any public comment? Anybody would like to make a public comment at this point?
I have one.
I don't think you can.
Can I say something for public comment?
You can under director comment.
I just want to recognize that Mayor Ron Oden from the city of Palm Springs is in our house. An old friend, and I want to acknowledge him.
Welcome. Okay, is there any other public comment? Okay, we have a consent agenda, which has the board minutes from the November 27th meeting, and the financials from the November statements that were approved by the Finance Committee on December 11th. Do I hear approval of the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the consent agenda is accepted. We'll now move on to resources and philanthropy, and I'd like to turn to Donna.
Okay. This is the staff report that gives an update of the final grants and progress reports that have come in. And this is there for information. If anybody has any questions that they have about any of the comments on them, I'm here to answer them. Okay.
These grants are what's in the pipeline only and not what's maybe on the back burner.
Are you talking about the final grant reports and the progress reports?
No.
35 through 39, existing grant, progress, and final report. Those are existing grants.
Those are grants in progress, right?
These are grants that have already been funded.
We only have letters
already
been funded. Oh, no. The applications, those are pending. That's true.
Right.
They're still in the pipeline.
Pipeline.
Yes. They're
okay.
Still under discussion.
Are there any grants that are in the back burner? For instance, Blue Zone is what we received a proposal.
That wasn't a grant.
Oh,
an initiative that was presented to the board 5 years ago.
5 years ago, was it?
So.
More than that, because I was on the board when we looked at it.
Okay.
So it wasn't a grant proposal,
no.
It was just an initiative.
Right.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, any more discussion on the existing grants? Okay, we'll move on to the Desert Healthcare District CEO report. Chris.
Thank you.
In your packet is the update on the priorities, milestones, and progress measures. If there's any questions regarding that, it's just updated month to month to show where we are as staff working on each of those items under that priorities list. Any questions or?
I would like, I don't know if this is the time, but I really think it's time to engage the county again, specifically the czar, for lack of a better word, to meet with the district. And Chris, I'd like, if the board agrees, I'd like you to think about that and maybe speak with Supervisor Perez and see how to engage the county health departments and stuff and the work we're doing. Because it's been about 3 years of strained relations, mostly around the expansion, and I think there are a lot of new players, and I think we need to work with them again. So,
you're talking a general meeting, no specific topic.
You know what? I'd talk to Supervisor Perez and see what he thinks. And does anybody else have any ideas or suggestions?
I think he's the best person.
Yeah. Any objections to that? From anybody? Okay. And item two?
Item two is consideration of approval of a letter of intent to lease a satellite office in the expanded area. So post the Measure A or BB that it expands the service area for the healthcare district. What staff is proposing is that we set up a satellite office that would be closer to, if not in the expanded area to be closer to the residents. So what you see in your packet is a proposal or a letter of intent for leasing some space at the Rath Foundation office. There's a 233 square foot space there that we could lease for $550 a month. We can do a 1 year lease with that. We did look at other properties, but the minimum lease that we could do is 3 years and quite a bit more to do that. So what we're proposing is doing a 1 year lease with potential option to extend that beyond the first year.
Could you give me an example of things that might go on at that office? And obviously the board meetings, we're not talking about the board meetings.
No, although there are
nice
there are conference
people.
Rooms
yeah,
there
meeting.
That
there's
can
a nice
be
large
used for meetings.
Board room there to meet.
But we'd have to rent those in addition.
No, they would be free to us to use, just need to be scheduled. But the small office would have room for two or three desks that that can be utilized for community members from that extended area to come and meet with staff versus having to come all the way into Palm Springs.
I like the idea. I would like it more knowing that it's also maybe the place we're going to have the meetings. I think that's a great idea.
It does have availability for...
And a room almost as big.
Yeah.
I think one of the sizes is, you know, the community hall that we were at in Cathedral City for one of the focus groups that we did. I don't know if you recall
mm-hmm.
that, but there's one that's about the size of that.
Yeah, probably the size.
This isn't the CVAC building, is it?
No, no.
And is this in the
expansion
area?
It's the old
Guthrie Ranker.
Yeah, Guthrie Ranker
building.
At Cook and Hopley.
And the community room has two large screens just like this.
So it's right on the border. That's good.
Right.
Okay, thank you for answering my question. Is there any other discussion?
Well, first of all, fantastic. It's great. I mean, I really can't rip this apart too bad. I mean, just, you know, 46 cents is pretty good. I don't have any huge objection. I kind of like to look at it before, but I mean, Jesus, what are we losing?
It's nice.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in the building. I just, you know.
Lisa?
I just want to add, the beauty of being at Rapid Center, we can't get as far east as we want, is Rapid, it's all their office space in that building is for nonprofits, so potential people that we would be partnering with and things like that. So there is that huge aspect to it.
Do I hear a motion to accept the recommendation?
I move.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Is there any further discussion? Call the roll.
Okay, Director Perezkio?
Yes.
Director Worthen?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
I'm gonna vote no.
Vice President Rogers?
Yes.
I do want to.
And President Zindel?
Yes. Okay, it's passed. I'd now like to return, ask the CEO of Desert Regional Medical Center to give her report.
I just have a few items to share with you tonight. We have a new credential that we were successful in achieving this month. We are now a CARF accredited acute rehab unit. CARF stands for the Commission on Accreditation of Rehab Facilities. And this is actually a new accomplishment, and it's a very weighty accomplishment. It's a couple of surveyors with some very intense days of review on your program elements as well as your outcomes that you're producing out of your acute rehab unit. So we're really very, very proud of now joining the list of CARF accredited institutions. We had a couple of surveys to renew some existing credentials. We renewed our Joint Commission accreditation for hip, knees, and spine, as well as we also renewed our comprehensive stroke designation from DNV. So it's been a very busy survey period of time over the last 3 or 4 weeks. From some work that we had out pending, if you remember from the condition assessment report, we had completed all but one item. We were delayed in completing the re-roofing helipad component on the condition assessment report, and that was due to weather. We had to get the right conditions where it wasn't too hot out, it wasn't raining, it wasn't, so it was, just completed actually as of yesterday. We put the roof back into receiving on helicopters. As we were refinishing the roof, we actually closed our valet lot and we used that as a temporary landing zone for the trauma runs. So that has now been complete. We have one remaining item, which is the loading, some work on the loading dock, and we do anticipate that will be complete by before the end of the year. On kind of continuing some capital updates, those of you who've been over the hospital recently have probably noticed that the lobby is a little bit torn up. So we are going through a lobby refurbishment where we're replacing the flooring, we're redoing the finishes, the ceiling, as well as doing kind of upgrading some alignments. And the goal is really just to lighten and brighten the appearance of the lobby. Another item that we just are installing this month, and actually it was installed today, but we probably will not put it in service until after the holidays, is we've put in a new a status system for the operating room, for the pre-op area, the post-op area, and obviously within the operating room itself, so that families get a code and they can see on the board where their loved one is on their journey for having their surgical procedure complete. And it is a patient experience, consumer satisfaction process to better communicate when an individual is in the pre-op, in the operative room, is now in recovery, so that the family can be informed each step of the way. So that was actually installed today, but again, we probably will do a soft launch, not a hard launch, until we hit the end of the year. And then last, but certainly not least, because I think those of you know that we've really struggled with behavioral health providers at the facility, and we have signed and have a new psychiatrist that will be joining us the first quarter of 2019. So I'm not really sure if Dr. Levinson is the happiest or if we're the happiest, but we're all happy to have this addition of a new psychiatrist.
He's very happy.
We're all very happy, and I think I've shared with you before that we have over 2,000 involuntary hold patients a year in the emergency room, and that number has really been ramping up over the last year and a half. So to have another psychiatric provider that can really assist in managing those patients and making sure that they're appropriately placed is very important to us. So if you have any questions for me, that's kind of the what's happening in the last few weeks.
Okay. Also related to the hospital, there were some rules and regulations, or what do they call the governing board rules and regulations, had some slight amendments, and as per our lease, we need to approve them. Chris, do you want to speak to them?
Just the essential changes are adding the chairman emeritus to continue on the board, and a few other minor changes to that. The last pages on
changes the name of this.
Yeah, changes the signer's
chairman president.
Yeah, from changes the current chairman's name, and just indicating board of directors for Desert Regional, and also for board of directors of Desert Healthcare District versus giving names to those positions.
Okay, I would move that the district board accept these changes. Is there a second?
Yeah, but I have a comment. I'll second it. And I may be reading this wrong, but on page 3 of the agreement, 51 in your packet, E3, is that the old hospital corporation board reference there? Should that be deleted? You don't do it tonight, but should that be deleted on page 51 of your packet?
Okay.
E3, maximum consecutive term limits of service. For former members of the Desert Hospital Corporation Board of Directors, other than those who were on the district. I get this about every 10 years and we get to read it.
Yeah.
And I think probably in a future, we don't have to deal with
that's
it tonight.
That's the wrong reference?
I think it is, isn't it? I mean, that's on National Lawyer.
Easy enough for us to, because actually I have a question if we need to change this over to Director Wortham.
Yeah.
So just voted her in, should we go ahead and update?
I think we have to update that as well.
Because once you approve these revisions, we'll give you an executable copy.
Right, but it just says president. The name is part of what we approved.
Just the title.
Just the title. We changed it from chairman.
And the president can actually duck out and give it to someone else, because I did that. I didn't need it. Am I incorrect there? Is that a wrong reference? That's okay. Don't have to deal with this
one. Yeah, no, I got to look at it.
Okay.
I got to look at it.
Put it in your to-do list.
Can you just let me know tomorrow if it needs to be updated? Because we have a board meeting coming up next week. And so we just take
this
it
week.
All.
This week.
It's
2 days from now.
Yes, two days from now.
Yeah. Okay, please call the roll.
Okay. Director Perescu?
Yes.
Director Wortham?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Rogers?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes. Vice President Rogers and I attended the governing board of the hospital meeting on November 29th. The DRMC CEO went over some of the items. I just want to mention a few things that she didn't mention. One is that Ron Rittenmeyer, who is the executive chairman and CEO of Tenet Health, announced that Sam Sataria, MD, is the new chief operating officer, replacing Eric Evans, who has been president of hospital operations. Basically, the different groups, hospital operations and collections and other companies and silos that Tenet has are now being combined under one chief operating officer. As usual, did I say that right?
Would you like me to explain that a little bit?
Sure.
So the Conifer service line had a separate organization. The USPI, which is our ambulatory care platform, does urgent care as an ASC, was one vertical line in the organization, and hospital operations was one vertical line. Eric Evans was over hospital operations, so the company is going to a merged organization, so Ron Rittenmeyer will be over all three, which he already is, but now the operations person will also be over all three to drive better integration. That was not a position that Eric was interested in. He wants to stay purely on the hospital operations side, and so therefore he stepped down and out of the role, and then Sam Sataria is taking into the role. And he actually was here last Friday.
Good. Also, as usual, we reviewed open and closed California Department of Health public health cases, and the board asked questions. I'm also, it was reported that the patient experience scores, which are collected on all patients that are in the hospital, are steadily going up. And in October, they went up from September, and and that's a good thing. We also reviewed medical staff appointments and reappointments, which we do every month. The board also recommended that the medical staff, to the medical staff, that they pass a policy that all physicians need to be vaccinated for influenza. That is currently a policy at JFK and at Eisenhower, but as of yet is not a policy at Desert Regional, and the governing board strongly recommended that the medical staff pass that. In addition, Dr. Amir Lafave of the Cancer Center and Chief Brian Reyes of Palm Springs were elected as new governing board members of the hospital for 2019. And the Honorable Mitch Blumberg, who was the chairperson, has been selected as the first chairperson emeritus. It's called chairman emeritus, but it's gonna have to be changed because someday there might be a female, so it needs to be chairperson emeritus. And congratulations, Mitch. And then finally, Dr. Shubha Kirkar is the new chairperson, and Dr. Rick Axelrod is the new vice chairperson. And that's the end of my report. Did you want to add anything?
No, very good job.
Thank you. All right, the next item is the Finance Administration, Real Estate, and Legal Committee. Mark Matthews.
Why am I looking at new providers, services, and programs?
I
jumped one more level.
We're, item K.
Okay, okay, sorry, thank you.
Page 63.
Got too many agendas. So we have the minutes of October 9th meeting for your information. There's no November meeting. We have a lease extension for Suite 1E with Desert Oasis that we recommended for approval. Do you want to add anything?
No.
And then I move approval of the lease extension for Desert Oasis Healthcare.
Okay. Is there a second? Is there any discussion? Roll call.
Director Perezchio?
Yes.
Director Wortham?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Rogers?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes.
And then there's another contract renewal with the management contract with Impro EMS Construction. The committee recommended action. Do you want to add anything?
Just to note that the contractor that's been there has been doing really a superb job. Not only with the maintenance of the property, things are improving or have continued to improve, not that they were bad, but just Rick Likens, who's the principal there, has had a long history with the facility and he takes pride in how it looks. Additionally, they have a very good relationship with the tenants there, which is equally important. So.
And you've had no complaints from the tenants?
No.
It's going very well.
You want to make a motion?
Did I move this already? Well, if not, I move approval.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any more discussion? Roll call.
Director Perezchio?
Yes.
Director Wortham?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Aye.
Vice President Rogers?
Yes.
President Zindel?
Yes. Now a report from the Hospital Governance and Oversight Committee, the Chair and Vice President, Carol Rogers.
The minutes of the October 18th meeting is on page 97, and there were no November meetings of the Hospital Governance and Oversight Committee. But we do have one coming up this week at 9:30. You all are welcome to attend.
Okay.
On Thursday.
Thursday.
Great, thank you. Director Matthews, do you have anything to report on the new providers, facilities, programs, and services ad hoc committee?
No.
The only thing that we might point out is that we're planning at this point to have the seismic report or seismic assessment that's been worked on the last several months be presented at the June 22nd
meeting.
January.
Wow. They run together after all.
I want to get out of this winter, sorry. January 22nd, thank you.
Okay, very good. And now, the Board Staff Communications Ad Hoc Committee, Director Wortham. Or Chris, let me turn to Chris for his proposal.
Okay. So at the November 27th meeting, we brought a proposal for Roush Communications Consultants to the board for approval with the scope of work, and then was directed to come back with the official service agreement. So in your packet, that's what you have, is the service agreement that's been approved by legal counsel, supported by the proposal of scope of work.
Is there would you like to make a motion to accept that?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Okay, Director Perezio?
Yes.
Director Wortham?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Rogers?
Yes.
And President Zindel?
Yes. Okay, we're now going to move on to new business. And I'm going to turn to our legal counsel because there's some legal problems that we have to talk about.
Well,
and he's the messenger.
Really?
Yeah, I'm the messenger. So, as we all know, on November 6th, Measure BB was passed. So once that passed, that triggered under AB 2414 a number of things that the district board has to do. And first and foremost is within 30 days after the expansion is certified, the board has to adopt a resolution to increase the number of members on its board from 5 to 7. So what you have before you is that resolution. And just to be real clear, it's going to be January 15th at 4 p.m. And we're going to do it at?
UCR.
Okay, we're going to be at the UCR location. There's going to be some notices that are going to go out that'll let everybody know. And I think we'll probably publish in the newspaper. And we've got, you know, Will's got, I'm sure, a bunch of ideas to get the word out. And basically, that's going to be... consider the applications on January 15th. Now, in order to be eligible to be on the new board, you have to be within the new annexed area territory. And you have to be a registered voter. And let's see what else. You've got to file a disclosure statement with the FPPC, just like you would if you ran for the board as an elected official. And we've got the notices. In going through the statute, carefully reviewing the statute, one of the things that I ran into was the fact that there's language in there that there's going to be two terms. One of the appointees is going to be for a 2-year term, and the other appointee is going to be for a 4-year term. Now the fun part is we're going to get to flip a coin or take something out of the hat. So there's going to be a random selection of who gets the 2-year term, who gets the 4-year term. That's something that will be done randomly. But in the course of that, we ran across some language that talked about the appointees, and the language in the statute says, who shall leave office when his or her successor takes office. So what that language means in the statute is that the applicants will only serve either a 2-year term or a 4-year term.
Two or four.
And that those applicants, according to the statute, will have to leave office when their successors are filled. So when the new when the election is done in 2020, one of the new members is going to have to leave office at that time. And in 2022, this is the current reading of the statute. The other will be have to leave office in 2022. So when I realized that, what I did was ask Chris to contact Assemblyman Garcia's office and find out if that was the intent of the author, and moreover, more importantly, was to ask Assemblyman Garcia, who is the only one that can do it, to get a legislative council opinion. So there's this whole group of lawyers in Sacramento called Ledge Council, and all they do is try to help and interpret this garbage sometimes that comes out. That's maybe unfair, but it's a common, unfortunately, it's like making, a stew or a spaghetti sometimes. Legislation, there's unintended consequences. And so this may have been one of the unintended consequences, but we're left with it. And so we're advised that Ledge Council is going to issue a written opinion in the next few weeks, that's basically going to say, at this point, at least we've got, we understand, that they will have, the applicants, whoever apply for these positions, will have to leave office either in 2 years or 4 years. Now,
that doesn't preclude them from running for election.
That's the point. That's
the issue. That was the intention?
What word precludes them from running? I'm reading the page 120.
Well, no,
they can run again later, but they can't run again immediately at the end of that term.
Where does it say that?
It's in the statute. I'd have to get, I think,
It says who shall leave office, because it says leave office.
Yeah,
2 years thereafter.
But they're not saying that was the intent.
What's
are
the
they?
Next word?
Well, it is what it is. Okay. Now, unfortunately, it may not have been the intent. The problem is we're stuck with what the statute says. Okay. And when I read it, it raised a red flag.
Gotcha.
And so I thought, hey, you know, I don't want to do. We don't want to misrepresent to the new applicants. So let's get it. Hey, let's get an opinion from a. Who, it doesn't matter what I think, it's really what Ledge Council, so that's what we're doing.
We'll see if we can't get it changed.
Well, I don't think you have to change it. I think the Ledge Council can say, you're out of office then, but if you run for the spot and get duly elected.
He says he already asked them and they said no.
Oh, they said no?
That's what I'm saying.
Not in that same election. They can later, 2 years later, or whenever the next election.
Carol's pointed out if Assemblyman Garcia wants that
clarification.
He has to write legislation to amend the health and safety code, okay? Because the way it reads now is that the applicants get 2 years or 4 years and then they have to leave
both
office.
Of them have to leave office.
At the end of their term.
At the end of their term.
Wow.
And can't run again until the next
I don't know. I mean, you could see a scenario where they may say, look, we don't want to, you know, there's issues with respect to, because we're going to change into zones over there.
Yeah.
And maybe they thought, well, you know, if you get two people
close
together,
I got it.
Maybe this will, so there's no conflict or there's no issue with respect to those appointments. There may be some rationale for it. I don't know, but I've searched the legislative history, and I couldn't see anything in there. And I've also, we've now asked for Ledge Council's opinion, so it'll be kind of interesting. That has to be the opinion. What Chris told me today was that the opinion even has to be signed by the governor. So, we're going to find out what.
And whether the current governor or the new governor.
Well, it'll be one of them. But anyway, that's it, and we've laid out this process, and I think it's. We're gonna have the meeting on the 15th, and then you can see on there. There's an exhibit that's got the notice, which is.
Is there any way we can hold the process until we have a chance to change it to be what clearly was the intent? Because this is not the intent.
Well, I'd like to say yes, but
the law says we
gotta. We're done. I mean, if Ledge Council comes down and says this is the what it reads and this is the way it is, then at least. For the time being, we're stuck with it. So I don't want to. I think it's important for the candidates to know, or the applicants to know, that they under the current version of the law, they're going to be serving either 2 or 4 year term, and that's it. So nobody, and it sounds crazy, but that's the way this thing reads.
We'll get it changed.
I could see the author. It's a simple amendment. Simple amendment. He could. There may be, frankly, there may be an opportunity to do cleanup legislation, is what they like to refer to it as. There may be some other aspects of it. There's some other things in there that I think should have been. He talks about divisions instead of zones, and so there's things that we could do that I think would help. Cure some of the issues that are conflict somewhat with the current health and safety code. Nothing substantively major, but some. So
can we at least say that it is? And correct me if I'm wrong, fellow directors. Can we at least say that it's the direction of this board to direct staff and you to pursue making the change so that if the people wanted to run again in their zone, they'd be eligible.
Yeah, and we'll contact the author's office, and maybe it's going to be up to him.
Is it an agenda item that we can vote on tonight?
I think we've got a consensus. We understand, and Chris is in contact with Assemblyman Garcia's office, and I think they were surprised. I think the initial reaction from Brown was, hey, I don't think that was what the original intent was. So let's leave it up to the these guys. So the other thing was we were going to do a draft overview of the appointment process is in there. I wanted to share
Let's take the action first on item one. Is that
okay? Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay, so do I hear a motion to put forward this resolution that starts on page 119?
So moved.
Is there a second?
A second.
Is there any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Director Perezkio?
Yes.
Director Wortham?
Yes.
Director Matthews?
Yes.
Vice President Rogers?
Yes.
President Zendo?
Yes. All right, Jeff, the process.
Yeah, so it isn't much different than the process that we had tonight with respect to the election of officers. It's slightly different. What we're going to do is we'll have candidates will submit their applications to the district, and then about a week we would put a deadline of about a week before the board meeting to get the letters of interest or applications of interest for the various applicants, so that the board members would have an opportunity for a few days before the meeting to at least look at these applications, so they're not just given to them the night of the meeting. So that process is in place, and then once we get to the meeting on the 15th at 4 o'clock, then basically we will, you know, the chair will call it to order, and you're going to consider the nominations for the two board vacancies, and the chair is going to go over some ground rules, and I think that while it's an open meeting, we want to have a fair interview process. So, you know, I think that the appropriate thing to do is to ask the applicants that to ensure that it's fair, to as a courtesy, they could wait in another space outside to while they're interviewed on a one-to-one basis. So they're not there, they anticipating the questions, making it a kind of a fairer process. And we can ask them if that's okay. And in most cases when we do, nobody objects to that because it's kind of a one-on-one interview with the board. And Mr. Espinosa will be there to help take them to the ante room, if you will, and escort them to make sure we go through the process. Right now, the applicants will have 5 minutes to address the board, and then the board will have opportunity to ask questions that they have of the applicants. And then at the conclusion, all the applicants will be asked to come back to the meeting room, and it will be opened up for board discussion. And there may be some discussion, there may not be some, you know. Then after the discussion, then the chair will open it up for nominations. And since it's going to be, this is an interview process between the board and the applicants, we're not going to have a bunch of, it's not appropriate to have the public input on that. This is up to them to make this decision. And then they will be prepared, the board will be prepared interview questions, and they'll, at the end of that, they'll basically do similar to what we did tonight. The chair will say, is there any, we'll take them one at a time, so will there be any announcements, or are there any nominations? We'll make sure that all the nominations are made so that every board member has an opportunity to make nominations. If more than one person is nominated, we're going to want to ensure that they're all provided an opportunity. We'll ask that the chair say that, are there any other nominations, to sort of close it off. And then we're going to go through, I've got some ballots left over from tonight, so I'll be able to use them again. And they're colored ballots, and we'll pass those ballots out. And it's the paper method. It's going to be used on the first and any needed subsequent ballots until one of the nominated applicants garners at least 3 votes. And so when one of the applicants achieves the 3 votes, the chair can ask for a motion and a second to provide an opportunity for unanimity and a final vote. So that's how we'll do it, and then the chair is going to next announce that nominations for the second new board member are going to be open, and we're going to go through that process again. Now, I'm almost to the end, so bear with me. Then we're going to have a selection by lot process. This is required under the statute, so it's a kind of a strange statute, but there it is. It says that that's where there's language in there about appointed to have to leave office when his or her successor takes office after the next general election in 2020, and one member who shall leave office 2 years thereafter. By lot means that we choose it by random. So it's suggested that we just put a couple pieces of paper in the, you can flip a coin or whatever you want to do, but if you put a couple
papers. It says lots.
Well, it says lot, but it's all it means is random, you know. So then they'll reach into the hat and, you know, you might get 2020 and you might get 2022. So once we get done with that, then we'll have some resolutions, formal resolutions that we'll ask the board to consider, which will appoint one of the new appointees to a 2-year term and the other appointee to a 4-year term. And then we'll, after that, we'll do the same thing I just did. You might get tired of hearing the spiel about the oath of office, but I like to give it anyway, so you'll have to indulge me.
And the history lesson.
Yes, the history lesson.
Yep,
I think
George
it's important.
Washington.
Yes, so it's, I think it's important.
And Abraham Lincoln.
Way back.
It goes way back, but anyway, we'll do that, and we'll swear them in, and they will be official, and I've got to even have the oath of office forms for us, so I think we're all ready to go. It should go real smoothly.
Are there any questions?
Yeah. Is the interview with the candidate a public meeting?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
It's going to be open. Your questions, you know, we might give you some suggested questions, but
yeah.
you'll have your own questions, no doubt, that you may want to ask. There may be some things we suggest that you don't ask, you know, but I think we're okay with that. You know?
So your candidate's buddy who's in the room can send the questions over.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm
just curious.
No.
Was in that process once.
Yeah.
I just don't remember.
Yeah, yeah, no. And you know, to keep it fair, what we try to do is make it a one-on-one interview, and we ask as a courtesy that they leave the room while the other applicants are being interviewed. And it's been my experience that everybody's very cooperative and understands that. They're really good about it.
But if they wish to, they can stay.
Yeah.
We don't get security out after them.
No, because it's a public meeting. So theoretically, if they wanted to say, no, I want to stay, then we would have to let them stay. But people are pretty good about it.
I just want to clarify, one has to be nominated from the pool of applicants to be considered to be voted on by each ballot, correct?
What we're going to do is we're going to have all the nominations, okay? We're going to list all the we'll basically get all the nominations from each of the directors, okay?
And that's not what I asked.
Okay.
What I asked is, let's say that there are 20 people that send in applications and fill out the forms, and we meet with them for 5 minutes and we ask questions. The point is, we only are able to vote on people that get nominated by us.
Yes, that's correct. In a field like that, there could be many people that are not nominated.
And can a director nominate more than two people?
No, because what we're doing is it's one at a time, okay? What you're saying, you'd like to nominate two people, okay?
Yeah, in other words...
Yeah, no, that's fine. You can nominate...
So of the 20 people, there could be 10 that get nominated.
Right.
And then we would just keep voting to somebody had three.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Okay.
But the nominations are open, and you can, if you have other persons you want to... You know, typically I will tell you it's normally one person, but it doesn't preclude you as a director from saying, hey, I like this person and this person. And particularly in this case, I could see where that might come up
because
you've got two positions.
And just because somebody loses the first time doesn't be eligible. And if they weren't nominated the first time, theoretically, they could be nominated from the pool the second time.
Yes, but I think we have to go through the process twice because otherwise
I understand.
What happens is this is going to turn into, we're just going to be mass confusion trying to, I've had where they try to prioritize things and it's just, it's a mess, so we keep it straight.
And we'll make a list on a board.
Yeah, we could do that. I think that's a great idea.
So that we can see who's been nominated.
Somebody with better handwriting than I can sit up on the board and write those out.
Okay, are there any further questions? Thank you.
Okay.
And now we will have a report on the communications and marketing update from Will.
Yeah, so back in September when the board approved the communications and marketing plan, a significant part of that was the website redevelopment and redesign and implementing branding services. And I'm happy to report that we're moving forward In November, the staff created a scope of work description form, and as a result of sending that out, we received several bids to do the work, the website part and the branding part. We have been reviewing those submissions. There were seven altogether, and we've narrowed them down to two. And we hope to start work in January, have a contract and begin working.
In other words, you'll be bringing a contract to the board in January?
Yes.
Yes.
So the plan is to bring to the January 15th meeting, essentially as a consent agenda item for approval.
Well, it has to be voted on. It's a contract. It has to be an action item. It can't be consent.
But consent agenda is action.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Then why don't we go? Why don't we call the roll then on a consent agenda? We don't.
Well,
you have to call the roll to take.
Well,
action.
You could have. You could.
Still.
You could. The thing about it is that it's not. If it's on the consent agenda, then you can pull it if
it
you want to discuss it. Okay. So in other words. If you want to get into
I'm not talking about discussion.
Okay.
You cannot take an action that allocates funds with a voice vote. You have to take a roll call.
We'll take a roll call.
Yeah.
There is a roll call
isn't
because
that right, Councilor?
You got the rule right. I'm not disagreeing. I mean,
every time you do the consent agenda, isn't a roll call?
Because there are no action items to allocate funds. It's just minutes in the financial report, usually.
But there can be other items on there that are, but they're all.
Let's have the legal people.
Yeah, no, but your point's well taken. You know, we've got a rule about financial stuff, and we'll look at that. That's a good point.
Anyway, great. Are you finished?
I am. Yes.
Thank you. By the way, I think as somebody who is addicted to Facebook, I just really like seeing a lot of the district stuff on Facebook. And it gets out there even away from Facebook. So congratulations.
Thank you.
It's
thanks
really
for sharing.
A good job, Will.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
I love the videos on the website because I stay as far away from Facebook as I can. Yeah. I just look at my wife's.
All right. Nia, Vanessa.
Good evening, directors. My name is Vanessa. So I am currently working under the NEOP grant. We have had NEOP for 5 years now. And right now we are in our third year. And NEOP wants us to concentrate more on policy systems or environmental changes. And the idea is to start painting playgrounds. So that's what the idea that we initially ran off with. And as I started meeting with vice principals at Tewinch Palms Elementary, the idea came about to start incorporating not only able-bodied students, but every student throughout the school. So now we will do a sensory pathway so that can be like the reboot zone, for example. So kids that have difficulty concentrating in class, they can go there under the supervision of an adult. And that's pretty much what we're working on. We have received donations of $350 from local donors, such as Home Depot, and Dunn Edwards Paint. So that's about $250, and all of the funds are being used in the grants. And yes, that would be all. Oh, and then some of the teachers are actually they're excited about the work, so they're actually doing a Digicom video on the process. And I would like to invite the board members to come out on January 16th for the painting day at 1 p.m., which is a Wednesday.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question. Since NEOP, the grant was made before I was a board member, could somebody just give me like a 2-minute summary of the history of NEOP, how it was funded, what it's been doing, and when does it end?
When did it originate? Was it about 5 years ago?
5 years ago we started. Okay. We started late, the NEOP, which means
nutrition
education and obesity prevention, which are USDA dollars that come down to the California Department of Public Health, and then they're disseminated to county departments of public health, and we were very fortunate to receive that funding, like Vanessa mentioned, 5 years ago. And through each year, the NEOP focuses on different items, and this year was the stenciling of different playground, like hopscotches, four squares, all of those things. But we are able to do a lot of things, and it's a place-based initiative solely in Desert Hot Springs. We do direct nutrition classes, primarily in the classroom. We do indirect education through community health fairs, community events, such as the Desert Hot Springs Healthy Halloween event that they had a couple of months ago. And the county is very happy with our work. Ready, Set, Swim folds into that as well. We do the nutrition component utilizing NEOP-approved nutrition education curriculum. And that has also spread not only from Desert Hot Springs, but also the children from the Cotito City and the Palm Springs schools received that same nutrition education through a registered dietitian from the county. So overall, the program is going tremendously well. Vanessa has been doing an exceptional job of continuing the work at the school level, where we found the most success. And we actually have a continuum of health and wellness through the schools. So we target them at the elementary school, middle school, and the high school levels. And we're able to present different information using age-appropriate curriculums for each of the different age groups.
How much funding comes directly from the district or foundation?
Zero. It's all through NEOP grants.
It's all reimbursed.
That's what I wanted to clarify.
Okay. And we received national recognition for our program.
We did. We did receive national recognition for our Ready, Set, Swim program. It was one of five in California that received the USDA recognition as being an innovative program that incorporates their two key items, which is physical education and nutrition education.
And you gave a presentation to the California Association of California Healthcare Districts.
I did.
Very good, thank you.
One quick question. Your last item says staff invites the board to view the sensory pathways. Does one go to Two Bunch Palms? Didn't you?
Yes, Two Bunch Palms Elementary,
yeah,
right next to the post office,
it is, yeah.
And then those are Hot Springs. So
great.
On January 16th at 1:30 p.m., which is a Wednesday, we will be out there painting.
Oh, great.
Okay, we want to finish up the district agenda so we can quickly move to the foundation. Are there any additional legal comments, Council?
No.
Are there any informational items? I will say that I attended last week the California Hospital Association's behavioral health care update sort of conference, and there was a little bit of new information, but it was mostly about how are the hospitals dealing with behavioral health in their ERs. Especially now with discharge, things like that. There was a little bit about homelessness, nothing that we hadn't heard before. And I did send the information that I got to Lisa and Donna and Chris, but I wanted to say that I did attend, and thank you, District, for supporting me attending. Are there any other informational items or director comments?
I just have the public comments that were sent to me from Savvy Jonathan and from Christy Holstich to hand out to the board.
Okay.
Do you want to make those part of the minutes?
Yes.
Okay.
I gave them to Andrea.
Okay. We'll include them under public comment then.
Okay. And that would have been from the
in the last
study session.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to quickly adjourn this meeting and move on to the foundation. And I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask calling the meeting to order and ask for the roll.
So, Director Perezcio?
Here.
Director Wortham?
Here.
Director Matthews?
Here.
Vice President Rogers?
Here.
And President Zendel?
Here. Do I hear a motion to approve the agenda? Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Is there any public comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda, which includes board minutes and financial administration. I hear a motion to accept the consent agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Is there any CEO report?
None for the foundation.
Okay. Finance Administration Committee, I understand there was no meeting
this month, November, right?
I think this means there was
no November meeting.
Okay, great. So we move on to old business, and the first is CB HIP. Lisa.
So under the CVHIP, the staff is continuing to work in partnership with IHP to establish an MOU to hopefully bring forward to the board in the January meeting. But it's good to note that even with not progressing forward with marketing, that we are not losing ground as far as number of users on the CVHIP website. So if there's no further questions.
I just want to comment that when I look at pages 21 and 22, these graphs, they're sort of underwhelming. How do you make me feel better about it, the money we're spending with these graphs?
That's the whole reason why we didn't move forward on marketing, because we didn't see a significant lift. And so what we're hoping is by moving into partnership with IHPs, that will become a significantly more robust platform. And quite frankly, as it stands right now, will alleviate the cost to the district.
Which is about how much?
$41,000.
Right. Yeah. At a minimum, $43,000 for the annual maintenance.
Okay, so we're going to work with IEHP to continue the program and basically use their platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they'll transfer the current CVHIP to the...
I mean, I have heard from community members that use it that it's very helpful.
Yeah.
And Yvette was sharing with me that you've used CVHIP in your job. So it is being used, but I would have hoped that more and more people were using it.
Right.
But hopefully it will be now that we're going to use it. Do you want to say something?
I think that a lot of people don't know how to access the site, so they wait for somebody to help them with it. So that might be an issue also, teaching how to access the site or how to look for the resources that you need.
Okay. Great. All right, the next item has to do with the Behavioral Health Initiative.
So once again, this is for information purposes. Staff is continuing to hold several different meetings, whether it's with, we've actually wrapped up the first responder meetings. We actually have continued meeting with different departments of the county, and also continuing our efforts with One Future as far as the developing out of an incentive plan for behavioral health professionals in the future.
Have we spent any of the $2 million allocated?
Not currently.
And when do you anticipate that we might begin spending some of that?
Once we have something identified. So each of the programs that we're talking to, we're still trying to identify a place. So we're hoping that One Future will bring forward a grant request that will come to the board either in January or February.
Okay, other than the career path, are there other areas that you anticipate maybe spending some money for behavioral health?
We're looking for opportunities. Right now, the county actually has made significant investments in different outreach teams, that sort of thing. We've just been made aware of a SMART team and a Rocky team, and so we're trying to bring this all together. We also have been informed that they're going to go into contract on the Roy's old resource place to build that out. And so it's still tying all the parts together, but as in the report, staff is focused on the homeless initiative and kind of kept the ball rolling on behavioral health but has not had the capacity to do a deep dive.
And do you see any role for the foundation and district in advocating in some way for the inpatient psych beds that are sorely missing from the district?
So staff has played a key role in continuing to stay or participating at all the meetings for Acadia. It's also included in the report. And as it currently stands, Acadia's intent is to bypass the Planning Commission and go right to Indio Council. So we're waiting for that to get on the agenda.
Are we allowed to spend any district foundation funds on lobbying?
No, but we can write a letter of support for them to the Indio
pass
City.
Pass resolutions, things
Indio
like that.
City
you
Council.
Go down and testify at the meeting.
Yeah.
And I'd like to remind the board that in September of last year, in 2017, the board did approve a proposal to hire a mental health consultant to work with this district that has yet to be, and we have it in writing.
But we're doing the work, the behavioral health work now with the current staff.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure what having an additional person would do if there aren't things coming down the pipeline.
Well,
but
that's
I would.
The idea is to submit an RFP for ideas that we could work on, and perhaps at one time even to combine the efforts of homeless and mental health issues because they are intertwined in various, very cogent ways that we might be able to take the $2 million fund that we have set aside and combine it with homeless and go forward looking at homeless and mental health issues.
So to my mind, there are two issues. One is policy, and the board sets the policy. And then it's up to the staff to come to us and say, in order to make this policy happen, we recommend the following staff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we've made clear what the policy is. So I would hope that the staff, if it feels it needs additional people and it's been budgeted or approved, that they would come and say, this is, we'd like another person to do X, Y, and Z.
So each of the staff reports has included a comment in there that staff has requested for a slight delay in the behavioral health initiative due to, like Carol has pointed out, there's a significant nexus between homelessness and the behavioral health. So example from last week's meeting up in Desert Hot Springs, very similar to the concept of the 25 familiar faces on homelessness, there is a really good possibility to work with Desert Hot Springs and focusing on their mental health that are dealing with substance abuse, which also ties into the homelessness. So we've already put forth questions to meet with the appropriate staff, so that's in the works. We're also continuing down the road. Chris has been very diligent in tracking down with Dr. Kim in regards to bring forward, again, the mobile medical unit that would have telepsych on it, and we have not been able to bring forth. So there is probably in the hopper, there's about six different programs that we're all looking at.
But do you need additional staff or an analyst to do that?
I don't think it's a matter of additional staff. We need to basically take the homeless initiative, get that role rolling and moved off so staff can then change it. The challenge that I guess that when you hire a consultant, the consultant consumes a significant amount of staff because they need our support with all the data gathering and that sort of thing. So hiring a consultant isn't going to do that unless we truly hire somebody and that's all they're gonna do and staff isn't involved in it.
Okay. Then the last thing I would just say is I would hope that staff would bring to the directors opportunities for us to weigh in on the inpatient psych issue when appropriate, whether it's to city councils or whomever. But I think we'd all like to do that if possible.
Yeah, sure.
Is any disagreement to that? Okay, thank you. California Endowment update.
So we wanted to bring this forward to the board. It was a very sad day, but unfortunately, Annalisa, one of our analysts, our policy analysts, had resigned from the Desert Healthcare Foundation, who is under this grant. During this process of the grant, from time of funding to the actual time of up and running, we took a significant amount of time to actually find the appropriate people to facilitate these positions. It was a tough find. With that taken into consideration, the California Endowment gave us an extension of the grant with no increased funding, so we just shifted the time frame of spending. We're now at the 6-month mark, and so staff feels that we've reached out to TCE to get their guidance because we don't think we would be able to facilitate filling that position quick enough based on the funding source only being for now 6 months. So we are now moving forward and trying to have an in-person meeting with Margarita Luna to understand further how would we evolve the existing grant scope of work based on the single staff member.
Does the worker have to be here every day? Is this work that can be done in part remotely or something? Because I know a ton of students that would probably jump at it even if it was part-time for 6 months. Graduate students and stuff, so I could put the board out on our net and you could have people like next week.
I think what we could do is we could wait to see you get the guidance. Our, you know, the other challenge we have is the relationship that was supposed to kind of evolve between the leadership at UCR and our leadership here both left at the same time, and so the different departments at UCR basically are very moving in their direction. We are trying to uphold our strategic scope of work and then also embrace what was going down with now Alencia, which is the old building healthy community. So I think until we really get guidance from TCE, we'd just be filling a hole rather than being a productive position. But I definitely think that's something we can put forth as an option.
Yeah, because then if you call it like, you can call it an internship or whatever, but
right.
If it doesn't get fulfilled, they have some work experience, they can apply for another job, but if it does get fulfilled, they can take this job and it.
Yeah.
And can we use analysts to, especially now that we're an expanded district and we're looking for new funds and there's salt and sea funds available, can we use some analytic staff to begin or continue researching that to see what opportunities there are for us to apply for funds related to salt and sea that affect the health of people in the east side of the Coachella Valley?
So those are based on TC's guidance. We are already focused on, so Megan is already doing a significant amount of work with support from Alejandro in the Salton Sea under the behavioral, the public health side of it, and that's also where we're looking to create a partnership with UCR School of Medicine under the research. And then we're also doing research under, there's a significant push from the county as a whole, but the census 2020 coming, and so right now she's doing the analysis work of how does getting the true count accomplished affect us financially here in the Coachella Valley. So she is working in that fashion already.
Okay, but it sort of leads me to the question, as Director Matthews says, we need more money, and is there a way that we can proactively look at the funds that are available through the Salt and Sea initiatives
right.
to begin to go after some of those funds sooner rather than later so that they can be of use.
Right. So just this last week, the Farm Bill was approved, and that is exactly, so we've already been meeting with Salt and Sea Authority, and I've worked with them to identify sources of funds that they're looking to go after, and they're very much in agreement with us about the public health. Right now, the Salt and Sea Authority is kind of not wanting to embrace the concept of public health and more the health of the wildlife and that sort of thing. But now with the new Farm Bill, there's room for them to access further funding that we are working in partnership. So actually, Chris is already, tomorrow sending out an email to move that forward under further research so we can go after funds. So we are going after further funding.
I mean, it seems to me if we had to spend a little bit of money to go after big amounts of money that affect the health of people in the East, that we should do that.
Yeah, and so that is our focus.
Okay, great. Any other questions about that? Okay, is there any new business? Are there any director comments? I'll just say that I have enjoyed being president this year. Jennifer, you will enjoy it. Yvette, we're really happy to have you on the board and look forward to welcoming two new people. And I think, and I've talked about this before, that this next year is an incredibly important year for the district. Not only have we expanded, we're going into seven districts. And that in and of itself is a lot of work because we have to teach people ourselves, remind ourselves, that even though we may be elected by a district, we represent the entire, or we may be elected by a zone, we represent the entire Coachella Valley, the entire healthcare district. I know some cities that have gone to districts have had that problem, and I hope that we can keep reminding ourselves of that. And secondly, I think that knowing that 2027 and the end of the lease with Tenet and Desert Regional Medical Center and the issues of seismic, knowing that those have to be addressed very soon, I think this is going to be the year that we make some decisions about how we're going to move forward and with whom we're going to move forward. And so I think this is a very important year. It's an exciting year. And I wish you good luck, Madam President.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr.
Zinn.
Adjourned.
Oh yeah.
Great job.
Jennifer,
yeah.
We hit the guy.
You can adjourn.
Thank you.
Adjourned.
And it's
7:20.